Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What up, A. Howard?
Quint, it's the worst time of the 8-year period.
Huh?
This is what I mean. I'm car shopping right now.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I always get a used car, and it's just the worst. I hate trading in a car.
Okay.
Because they'll give you, like, a bag of Cheetos and $8 for your car.
Why aren't you utilizing more of the great technological advancements that are out there for you to do your car shopping?
Like, what do you mean?
I used Carvana once.
Yeah.
I loved it. I found a car. It was underneath Blue Book. I got a quote for mine, which was probably about the amount that I could have gotten. I did all the paperwork. They showed up at my house 3 days later. They took my other car for a test drive to make sure it wasn't, like, breaking. Put it on the truck, dropped off the other one. I went back to my dinner.
That's kind of nice. I'm being really picky about what I'm looking for.
Good.
Because I'm not on a time crunch.
Yep.
So I'm like, I'll just wait, and when I find it, then I'll jump then. But ultimately, I love my car now, but it's getting up there. It's got 155 on it.
Oh, yeah.
And once it gets to 170, I get terrified because both of the cars I've had before this one, transmission.
Wow.
So now I think I love my CRV. If I wasn't scared about dealing with car repairs, which I know nothing about, I would just keep it and run it to the ground. But now I'm like, if I keep it 2 more years and the transmission goes out, I'm done.
Mm.
So anyway.
I like the interior.
Oh, yes. Feel the leather. Do you feel it?
Well,
Can you feel the lumbar support lifting up your spirits? Do you feel it?
So first of all, do you know the Blue Book value of your car?
Yes.
Okay. And so have you gone to CarMax and getting a quote for what they would buy it for?
I haven't done CarMax. Because the last couple I've looked at have been trade-in at a dealership, and I've thought about potentially selling it on Facebook Marketplace, but that really scares me.
Do not do that.
And it sounds miserable.
Then you gotta go, you gotta transfer title, you gotta sign off. I mean,
yeah.
Nonsense.
Can you feel the seat warm was warm in your soul? Can you feel it? Do you feel it?
Yes! Yes! I feel it! I feel it!
Yeah.
I'd try to go on CarMax, see what they're going to, no hassle quote. They're not like messing around. You're going to give the condition. You're going to, figure it out. You could even look at a Carvana and the same thing. I mean, I just think nowadays there's so many outlets, and I know there's people on here that are saying, what? You get so much more money if you do the Facebook. I know, but time is money. And
right.
I mean, you drove, well, now how much you have invested? You drove to Louisville last night. Test drove a car and drove all the way home.
True, but I also saw my roommate from college.
Great,
so that was,
but I'm just saying, like, you're investing time, and time is money, and hours in this. So I don't know.
I think I need to figure out what I'm willing to sacrifice to not be on the Facebook Marketplace game. Mm. I need to, like, put a dollar amount to it.
Why don't you do what I did recently and bought a used Tesla from Hertz for pennies on the dollar. Which was an amazing experience.
I don't know if I'm ready to charge my car like that.
Oh, it's been awesome.
It would be sweet. I don't have a garage.
That's a problem.
And I also feel like it would stress me out because I don't understand it.
I'm a proud Tesla owner for a fraction of the price. I bought a used Tesla from Hertz Auto Sales. All in all, it was a great experience, except my temp tag is expiring soon, and I don't have the title yet. And I paid cash for the car. And I am blowing up their phones.
Deal?
Well, apparently I'm getting it today. I finally got somebody. But, I mean, that was a botched deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy about that because I should have gotten that title within a couple. I should have got that title that day. I asked. I was like, where's the title? Well, our title person's not here. They'll mail it to you. I'm like, okay. So I have got to get the title to get this thing registered. But I love it so far.
The other day came in so fired up because it auto parks now. That's pretty fancy.
Guess what happened last night?
Does it not auto park anymore?
Oh, no, it auto parks. But I got they're testing the temporary autopilot.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
You can try it.
Uh-huh.
And I've not wanted deal with anything. Like, I'm like, right. I'm okay to drive my car. Like, I don't need it to drive by myself. But I was taking my son to church last night, and you shift into drive or rear or neutral on a what would normally be like your turn signal or your wiper, I guess, your wiper stick. Like, that's how you push down for reverse, you push up for drive.
See, that's why
whatever.
I can't drive a Tesla. Yeah, well, it takes
2 seconds to figure out.
Okay.
But I was leaving the driveway, and I pushed down twice. Like, I hit drive, and I didn't think it was in drive, so I did it again. Well, that apparently triggers auto drive.
Oh, gosh.
So all of a sudden, it started driving out of the neighborhood.
And then a voice came on and said,
no,
good morning, Quint.
But
welcome to
this
Tesla.
Is so cool. So I'm like, okay, it goes up to the stop line, it puts the signal on, and I have not put anything into the map. So I'm like, I don't know where we're going. So it's just driving. So my son's like, is it driving by itself? I'm like, yes, it is. Absolutely 100% driving by itself. It was awesome.
And this is amazing. I can control the entire car from the fob.
What do all the buttons mean?
No clue, but we'll figure it out.
And although it drove totally the speed limit, which was a little bit annoying.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I was like, wow, we're really doing 25 right here. So I put in the map, going to church, okay? So then the big deal, the big question is when I pull out on the Harrodsburg Road, like, there's a lot of cars. Like, we're going to church in the evening. There's people are coming home from work, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. So it puts the signal on. It pulls into traffic. It waits for a car to go by. It pulls around another one. It's going. I'm like, this is amazing. So guess what I do? My wife and I use Marco Polo. It's this like app that
Marco
does videos
Polo.
Or whatever.
That's really funny that you and your wife do that.
We
also.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
So I get on Marco Polo and I click and I put it up and I'm talking to my wife and I'm like, you won't believe this. The car's driving right now. I turn around. All of a sudden it says, you know, keep your eyes on the road. I get this thing. Keep your eyes on the road. Please do not be distracted. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. Like, so I move my phone a little bit to the right, like trying to, you know, maybe it saw that there's a camera or something in front of my face. So I move it to the right. And then I'm talking to her. And then pretty soon it says, I get a message that says, auto drive has been disabled because you're distracted or something.
Like, you suck.
Like, I was
We're
totally scolded. So then I had to start driving again, which was such an inconvenience. I'm like, what?
I hate this.
And I told my son's like, you just got in trouble. Like, the car scolded you. I'm like, it did scold me. So I finished driving to the thing, and I'm like, that it was amazing. It was a glimpse into where we're going.
Oh, is he from the future?
I mean, Robotax. And I know people are listening going, no way, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, it was great. It
you
was
gotta
awesome.
Keep your eyes on the road is what I learned
yeah,
from
you
that.
Do. I mean, you definitely do. But I'll tell you that just in driving this thing, whenever someone's veering or something that I see it, right? My reaction time is pretty good. I see it, but it's almost the car picks it up a second before me. Like
I'm sure.
It's unbelievable.
Jeez. Oh. All right, we got to get to our question.
And I probably paid less than a Honda for it, by the way, just for those people out there that are wondering. If you Hertz Auto Sales, they're getting rid of all of their Teslas. I'm a big proponent
Maybe
of it.
I'll think about it.
All right.
I probably won't.
We got to go to a question because it's
Let's
a
just skip the announcement.
I'm
Send
telling
us your questions.
You, no,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what to do.
Yep.
You
all
guys
right.
got it in the bag.
All
question
right. from Davis. What do you got? DIY!
Hey guys, this is Davis from Nevada calling in once again. I've been loving the show lately. I've got a question about the new Save student loan repayment plan that Biden put through. So the way I understand it is that the government subsidizes any interest that is outstanding after your monthly payment. So it's an income-driven repayment plan. For example, my payment should be $400 a month. The amount of interest accruing on my loan should be $1,100 a month based on the amount of loans that I have. So that other $700 after I make my income-driven payment is subsidized by the government, so that way the interest never accrues and the principal never goes up. If I'm understanding that right, would it be a good idea to make the minimum payment and then stock away other money in a high-yield savings account or somewhere else like that that's low risk, and then make a lump sum payment at the end of every year to reduce that principal? I don't know if you guys have looked into this, have understand it a little bit better than me, but I know there's a lot of questions among students right now, and I'd love to hear what you guys think. Thanks for the help.
Davis, thanks so much. You know, we're at DIY Money going to have to become much more versed. It seems like these things are changing all the time. I know there's a Part B or a student loan repayment B that's now being tried to push by the Biden administration through Congress. And it just seems like there's a lot of these things that are changing all the time. And we need to become better at this. We need to become more proficient. Maybe Allie can take ownership of this and learn a little bit more. But here, I'm going to just share what I know, and then I'll give you my two cents on what you're discussing. So my understanding is exactly what your understanding is. However, there's income qualifications, which is how you got your payment in the first place. Now, my question arises is what happens when you're, and maybe you know this, and maybe Allie already knows this, what happens if you get another job and your income goes up considerably? Do they all of a sudden, or will they one day reset your payment based on that? Is it an annual thing? Is it something that, you know, all of a sudden they have to, and I don't know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that right off the bat?
Yes, it's percent of income. So I think you submit your tax return
every year,
or maybe you just have to report your income. So then they adjust.
So they are going to adjust it every
year. If your income goes up, your payments go up.
Okay.
Yep.
So you know, in that case, I mean, you possibly could have different changes, and then you could possibly find yourself, and this is why you would then be paying down the principal, you could possibly find yourself in a situation where you don't qualify for that, and all of a sudden you are going to owe the interest, and if you have not paid down the principal, then you're going to have those interest payments. So I like your strategy, is I guess what I'm getting at. I like the strategy of paying that down. The challenge you quote unquote lose in this scenario, and I don't think this is a good thing to be set up for. Our government tends to do this. Our government tends to incentivize not making a lot of money. Like, you are incentivized to keep your income at a lower level for a lot of things in our country. I am very frustrated by that, but neither here nor there.
Frankly, I find the whole thing a little frustrating because I can't figure it out.
Let's say for the next 20 years, you had the same or lower income, or income that kept you within the level by which they would continue to subsidize your interest. Well, then why make those extra lump sum payments? Why not just take that amount and put it in a high yield savings or contribute to Roths or whatever and grow that money over time and basically just keep paying down an interest-free loan? And then at the end of that period or time period, you would have all that extra money, you know, on the other side invested, and you have time value of money. That's if you're never going to have to pay interest. But if you are not sure about, you know, your income level and whether you'll qualify or not, then I like the idea of socking the additional money away, building it up, and then making, you know, one-time payments to knock the principal balance down sooner, with the advantage being if in the future you did have to pay interest, then that interest payment's going to be less because the principal balance is down. What say you, Allie?
I think what you're getting at, and the biggest thing for student loan repayment, is knowing your options. And this is challenging for two reasons. One, like Quint said, admittedly, I don't know a ton about all of the different options for student loan repayments. But two, they change constantly. I mean, it seems like every day if you research student loan repayment, you see another plan that Biden is looking to get passed, or you see another strategy that's on the horizon. And so I don't think that, I would assume, with the way things have changed in the last few years, the way things are expected to change on the long term, I don't know that you'll have the same strategy for 20 years. And so I think you can start with income-driven repayment, which is what this SAVE plan that you refer to is, and then change and opt into something else. But I would make sure that as you're selecting, that is the case. And also kind of keep an eye on what's on the horizon so that as that strategy needs to change and adjust, it can. So that's what I'll say kind of up front, is know your options, because every day they'll change. And as I was looking through my own student loans, trying to figure out what's best for my situation, I went on the studentaid.gov website, which I think, as long as your loan is not a private loan, you should have like a login to this and everything else. They had a great calculator on there that you could put in, okay, my goal is the lowest monthly payment, and it would tell you which plan does that and how the payments would change over time and model it. And it made sense. Or you could say, I want to pay off my loans as fast as possible. What makes sense? So that's a really good tool. And I would assume as things are rolled out, they will be very quick to update that tool with the new strategy. So you can keep going back and looking at it again with a fresh take. Overall, what I know about student loan repayment plans is there's kind of two avenues you can take. So the first is fixed payment repayment, where you can just do standard payments. They're the same every month. They're not going to change over time. You can do a graduated fixed payment where each year, I think it is, it will adjust up until the end of your payment plan extended. Or the other avenue you can take is this income-driven repayment, which is what that save plan you referred to is under. And essentially the premise of that path is instead of paying, for example, $500 a month towards my student loans every month for 20 years, while I'm making less money, I pay less money, and then over time that goes up. But ultimately, I would just encourage you to go use that calculator, because depending on the balance of your loans and the interest rates of your loans, there's going to be a different answer for each person. But Davis, I like your strategy, not knowing the balances and if the save plan is the perfect repayment plan for your situation. I do like the idea of taking advantage of that plan, in that if you can make the more than the minimum payments, keeping it at the minimum, and like Quint was saying, either investing that or just putting in a high yield savings account and growing it, and then making bigger payments so that your interest isn't accruing. I mean, if you can avoid interest accruing on your student loans, that's huge, but just make sure that long term you're not going to end up paying more interest because you're prolonging that payment repayment period for so long. So be careful about that. I would run it either in Excel or using that tool and see if that makes sense for you. But overall, I think you're on the right path, just thinking, not only looking at your options directly, but also thinking outside of the box. Well, what if I grow it over here, and then keep doing what you're doing?
Sounds good to me.
Keep doing what you're doing. I like it too. And again, I think that the reality is this is one of those things where things change. I mean, it is a moving target. I genuinely don't know what...
Probably since we started this episode, and things have changed.
And it's almost, again, what's so frustrating is like, okay, how do I play this game? How do how do I incentivize? And I think people are out there waiting what to do. I mean, just keep paying it off. Like, keep going at it. Keep getting rid of it and knock it down and get aggressive.
I mean, if you pay off your student loans and then you find out, oh, I could have made $2,000 more if I saved, I feel like you slept well for 2 years before that came out. Like, there's benefit, and we talk about all the time psychologically, of just saying, I don't have student loans anymore and I don't care what they're passing, instead of trying to play this game for 10 years and get the best repayment and save pennies at the end of the day.
I will say, for students and young people listening, though, I like, and I think it's going to be more and more of an offer for businesses to attract talent, is student loan repayment plans or forgiveness plans or whatever. So I think I'm not against student loans at all. If you're using them to leverage your industry and your academia to get a good job, I think that's a mathematical equation. It's like a business loan or starting a business. But I do think there's going to be more and more corporate action to try and incentivize people to come work for them, using student loans as a benefit.
Look at your employer too. Maybe you can find a good opportunity there as well.
Excellent. Davis, great question, and thanks for sending it our way. We'll send you a $25 Amazon gift card. All he did was send us an audio file question to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. Now we'll send him that $25 Amazon gift card. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest. Do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us, and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.